All right, this morning, we're going into our last message in the series called Grace. And today, the title is Speaking Grace, Peace, and Truth. Okay? Speaking Grace, Peace, and Truth. So let's bow our heads and we'll get started. Father, I thank you for the awesome privilege of being back here at my home church today, doing what you have fashioned and created me to do. And I take great joy and pleasure in delivering your word. It is a natural thing for me to be up here and to lead and to teach. It fills my tank, Lord. And so I thank you for that privilege. And I ask for your anointing to be upon me to deliver your word in a way that glorifies you and breaks through the darkness in all of us. And Father, I pray that your anointing would be upon each and every one of us this morning to hear the word of God and be doers of it, to implement the word of God, to speak peace and grace and truth, not only over our lives, but to everyone we come in contact to. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, if you would turn with me to John chapter 1, John chapter 1, verse 14. I love this portion of scripture here in John chapter 1. It says this: the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word of God became flesh. That's why the Bible says that the Word is living and active, right? It's not just a good read. It's not just the best-selling book of all time. It is living. It is active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It became flesh and made its dwelling not in heaven, but the Bible says dwelling among who? Us, right? We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father. Say it with me. Full of grace and truth, all right? So these days, the world is full of people arguing over the truth. People argue about the truth on social media. They argue about politics, right? Our nation is divided over what is truth. Right? And so I saw this clip, this graphic at Time Magazine on it. Could you put that up? Yeah, Time, it says, is truth dead? Our society values truth. You see it all, if you watch the news, right? You see one side spouting their truth, another side spouting their truth. You see all over the political spectrum, you see all over the religious spectrum, people spouting off their version of truth. And so we see this Time Magazine, not just article, but on the cover, that says, is truth dead? And sadly, international terrorists as well are willing to kill in order to promote their brand of truth. They will go to their graves over their brand of truth, right? And so John, in John 1:14, John opens up his letter by reminding us of what is so special about Jesus, because Jesus is truth incarnate. Amen? And so He came from the Father, say it with me again, full of grace and truth. In Jesus, grace and truth are joined together. They are forever linked, working in synergy together with one another in perfection. So His life and His message show the beauty and the power of grace and truth walking hand in hand. Some people, if you'll notice, they will emphasize and lean toward grace, right? They are just full of grace, 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 grace Over here you have some people that just deal in truth. They drop truth no matter how hard it feels, no matter how hard it lands. Truth is truth. Deal with it. It doesn't care about how you feel. It doesn't care about your opinion. They just drop truth. How many of you guys know people like that? Right? It's like they don't understand social norms. They don't understand grace. They're just, boom, deal with it. But over here, you got people that deal with grace. And, oh, you know, it's going to be okay. It's grace. It's your truth. Okay. You know, and it's just full of grace. But Jesus understood and he demonstrated what grace and truth look like working together. Grace and truth is embodied when Jesus was brought this almost naked woman before him trembling. Been caught in the midst of adultery, right? Sin. And here comes the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, and they represent that truth with no grace. And they bring this woman to Jesus and said, the law says, right? They're concerned with the law. They're concerned with the truth. The law says this woman who committed this act deserves to be stoned. Grace and truth working together knelt down in the dirt and doodled with his finger, stood up. And he said, he who is without sin, cast the first stone. Grace and truth working together. One by one, greatest to the smallest, they all walked away, dropping their accusations. Those stones represent a judgment, accusation, right? And then Jesus didn't stop there. He could have just walked away and let this woman just go, whew, and walk away. But Scripture says that he knelt back down and he doodled again. And he looked up at her and said, lady, where are your accusers? And she looked around and she said, I have none, Lord. Grace and truth working together right here. Listen to me. Then neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. Grace and truth working together in synergy. Do you know the Apostle Paul, and I love studying the Word of God, because every time I do it, I learn something. And I've read this over and over and over again, and sometimes it gets to a place where you almost skip over it because you've read it so many times. But did you know that the Apostle Paul opened up each and every letter that he wrote with the same phrase 13 times? It says, grace and peace to you. 13 times. Some people might think that these words are a formality. But these words, even if they are formalities, were breathed by the Holy Spirit. And even the greetings are a part of the inspired Word of God. Amen? I love the fact that there's not one word in Scripture that is wasted. There's not one word that is not dripping with the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit. That it has been inspired and purposely placed to bring revelation and understanding to us. I love that about the Word of God. And so even Jesus, and looking at Luke chapter 10, verse 5, instructed the disciples, wherever house you enter, let your first words be, peace to this house. Peace to this house. Jesus had in mind something more than just words. This peace Jesus instructed the disciples to give, church, it was something real. It was something tangible. It was something that would impact that house everywhere they went. It wasn't just a formality. It wasn't just a greeting. It was a dispensing of power and peace over that residence, over that person, over that household. It's amazing what we have as believers through the spoken word, the way we speak over one another, the way we encourage each other, the words that we impart to one another, that knowing that the greeting, even our greeting, can change somebody's life. The way we shake somebody's hand, the way we genuinely look at somebody and say, I love you, I'm praying for you. I can't tell you how many times while I was sitting in my mother's hospital room looking at her lifeless body laying in there that I got text from you guys saying, Pastor, I don't know what's going on. I don't know the details, but I am praying for you. And I pray that God continues to give you hope. I'm praying over your mother that she would be healed in the name of Jesus. That not a ton of theological acrobatics in those texts. Just, Pastor, I'm praying for you. I want you to know that I love you and that you're supported in Green Bay. And we're behind you and we love you. The spoken word, the power of the spoken word. And Jesus, again, he had more in mind just than words. This peace Jesus instructed his disciples to give us, it was impactful. It had power behind it. It had substance. Not just in empty words, but in power to impact our lives. And so, what is all of this implying? Paul's talking about the greetings when he says, grace and peace to you. Jesus says, wherever you go, whenever you enter the house, say these words, peace to this house. So what does this imply? It implies this, that we have the power to distribute grace and peace to others. That the same dispensement of grace that was given to us by the Heavenly Father through the blood of Jesus Christ, that peace and that grace of forgiveness that has brought us peace is now ours, not just for our salvation, not just for our situations, but for our dispensement. And that dispensement does not require that they do something in return, but we give that grace freely. We give that peace freely. We speak the truth in love freely, not because they earned it, not because you like them, but because Jesus did that to you. And because of that, we are to be like Christ, not in the way we live, but in the way we dispense His grace. By the way we dispense peace, by the way we dispense truth, we are to be that Jesus in the moment. I got a call the other day. A lot of you guys probably saw it on the news that there was a fireman that was killed in Appleton. In the line of duty, he was shot. There was a police officer that was shot along with a pedestrian as well that was in the area. And they wound up killing the assailant. And I had just flown home on Wednesday. I'd been home 2 hours, went upstairs to change, got on my comfiest shorts and my t-shirt. And Dana delivered the remote to me on the left-hand side of my armchair. And I felt like I had come home. And we were talking about what was going on in the week while I was gone. I was filling her in. And all of a sudden, my cell rings. Pick it up, and it's the fire chief here in Green Bay, David Litton. And he called me up, and when I saw his name on my phone, I knew that it wasn't good. And he told me what had happened, and he asked if I would go to Appleton right then and to speak into that situation. Now, I'm drained. I've been in Tennessee dealing with my mother. Don't know, live or die, I don't know. And come home and I'm drained. I'm super glad to be home. And I get this phone call. And I wasn't expecting that. life isn't fair, is it? And so I was able to, I told my wife, I said, honey, I have to do this. I've got to go. And so I went upstairs, got dressed again, and I went into a situation that was dark, that was hopeless. People were numb. They were crying. These tough guys had seen their partner of 14 years get murdered right in front of them. How do you go into a situation like that and present some kind of hope to somebody that has just seen that? And to be honest with you, in my flesh, I have no idea. But you know how the disciples, when they were passing by the gate called Beautiful, there was this beggar there, and he was begging every day. That was his thing. A couple of disciples walked by, and they went up to him and said, "Silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk." And so I went into that situation on Wednesday with what I did have. I did not have strength, right? I was tired, completely exhausted. But what I did have, I gave to them. And I spoke grace and peace over them. No magic words, no theological acrobatic statements, no quoting of chapters and chapters of Scripture. But I went in and I dispensed what I did have in spades, that which I drip with everywhere I go, that which has been given to me without measure, and that is the peace and the grace of God. Amen? Each and every one of us, born again with the blood of Jesus applied to our lives, is dripping with that same grace, with that same Spirit, and same peace, and we can dispense it as we choose. Amen? No matter what you're going through, no matter how emotionally shot you feel, no matter what the situation is in your life, you are dripping with grace. You are living in an abundance of peace, and the truth of God will lead the way in your life. Amen? Our everyday lives are no different than that time as well when Paul wrote his letters. Words of grace and peace are not mere formalities. They're not just what we say. They are ours to give, to dispense. Don't hoard it up. Because, after all, listen, grace is free, right? It's in abundance. God wasn't depleted of all grace when He saved you and forgave you. Thank God. But there are things that will trip you up in your dispensement of these things. There's a couple of things, and I want to talk about that real quickly this morning. Number one, the first obstacle is bitterness. I don't want to skip over this. A lot of us live with bitterness, and we're okay with it. We've learned to live with it. We've learned to cope with it. We've learned to release that pressure when it needs to be released. Some of us cope with alcohol. Some of us cope with medication. Some of us cope in destructive manners. We learn to live with the bitterness in our lives. It becomes almost a non-issue. But Hebrews 12:15 says this: "See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness spring up and causes trouble, and by many become defiled." See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness spring up and cause trouble. Notice he didn't say bitterness, he said root. When something has roots, it's hard to get rid of. It's hard to pull up. It's hard to knock down. It has to be severed. It has to be cut off from the supply that gives it life. So when the root is dealt with, everything else dies as well, right? And so we need to understand that bitterness causes our heart to recoil and to draw inward to avoid even grace itself sometimes. We don't want to receive grace because bitterness has overcome our spirit. It's overcome our thinking, and everything that we do comes from that root of bitterness. We don't realize that bitterness does not stay contained within yourself, but it drips on everybody around you. And it comes out in some weird form or another. Whether it be a simple disagreement, or whether it's a traffic stop that somebody takes 3 seconds extra to hit the gas. Bitterness overtakes us in ways that we can't control, and it defiles everyone around us. And so we are to take care of that root of bitterness in our life. The message from Hebrews warns us that apart from the grace of God, our bitterness and unsettled scorekeeping to those around us can defile all of them. We need grace to endure suffering, even in the everyday slights of our lives. Amen? Number two, the second opponent of grace is, in my heart, that grace is like a zero-sum game, all right? That somehow grace comes packaged, prepackaged in fixed amounts. And once you've got your fixed amount, you can't ask for any more. That I'm going to give you grace for this moment and this prepackaged container, and when you use that up, don't ask for any more because you're not getting any. So be sparingly with it. That's what our minds tell us, right? Because that's how our relationships have been in our lives. Our love is conditional. It's based on how we feel. It's circumstantial sometimes. But the grace of God, the love of God, goes beyond all of that, and it transcends how we feel. It transcends the situation, and it imparts peace, it imparts grace, and imparts truth in order to bring life again. The law says, you deserve it. You deserve it. I have forgiven you once. I'm done. You crossed me. It's over. Don't ask for forgiveness. I gave it to you once, not willing to do it again. But when we walk in peace and truth, when we are dispensing it the way Jesus dispensed it himself, it brings life. And that more abundantly. Amen? Part of the good news is that there is more grace. Hallelujah! Right? That God's grace is sufficient for me. It is more than enough. That when I go back to that well of grace, He's going to give it to me. Now we have to be careful that we don't use His grace as a license to sin. Right? But that His grace is all sufficient and is able to forgive us when we have fallen short of the glory of God. And I don't know about you, but I have fallen short of the glory of God many times in my life. And so God wants to provide grace in our everyday as well. Grace for growth and grace to sustain it. Grace to sustain it. Grace and peace represent more than our need. It represents the need of everyone we meet. Which begs the question, do we speak grace and peace on others? Or do we speak judgment? Or do we speak our opinion? Do we give unsolicited advice when we know it's going to irritate? Do we try to prove a point and speak that point over them? Or do we speak that grace and peace? Let the truth of God work. The truth does not need your opinion. Come on. about to do a little jig this morning. The truth speaks for itself. It does not need your help. Let the Word of God work. Speak truth. Speak love. Speak peace. Step back and let the Holy Spirit do His thing. Amen? I hope that sets some of y'all free this morning. And just as a reminder, there's a place to cultivate that grace, that peace, and that truth. Grace grows in community. But not just any community. I'm talking about the church. This is a place that it's a safe place to fail. It's a safe place to grow. It's a safe place to learn. It's a safe place to be yourself. It's a safe place to express who you truly are. The church is a beautiful and messy place. That's why I love the church, because it is built for me. Thank God He builds the rafters so it doesn't collapse every time I come in the church. The church is a beautiful thing. It teaches us how to grow in grace and love toward one another. Don't be surprised if you're the person that you go to church with spouts off something that irritates you or that isn't a holy thing that you hear in church. I've seen years ago pastors that were absolutely terrified at the thought of some other church having a place to smoke cigarettes outside the church. Now, I'm not advocating we open up a bar in church either. But I'm saying the church should be training ground. Training implies that there is learning to be had, right? That none of us are acting or living in perfection, but that we are all straining and moving forward to be like the Son of God. Not like Pastor Jimmy, because man, I'm messed up, right? But that we are all moving toward the same Son of God, that we're trying to emulate our Father in heaven. And sometimes we irritate one another. Sometimes we get on each other's nerves. That's why the Apostle Paul greeted them the same way every single time, speaking peace, speaking grace over one another. This is a difficult message because in modern times, the Church of Jesus is largely out of joint. We can choose churches the way most people choose restaurants, the way you're going to choose one when you leave here, this place, right? According to our individual tastes. Do you know that there are over 25,000 denominations? Not churches, denominations worldwide. How can we grow in grace when we are free to wander from one family to another? We need to understand that when we have aught with our brother, aught with our sister, that there's a biblical model in which to receive healing, forgiveness, grace, restoration. And the Bible says, well, Pastor, what happens if you've tried everything you know to do and still it doesn't happen? Forgiveness is not given. Peace is not given. Then you step back and you allow the Word to work. Instead of curse, you bless. Instead of denounce, you speak grace. You speak peace. Why? Because you didn't deserve it either. You didn't deserve it either. But He gave it to us freely. Amen? Listen to Peter in his letter in 1 Peter. You follow along with it. Above all, love each other deeply. Because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received. For what reason? to serve others as faithful stewards of God's what? Grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Our words and our actions are the practical expressions, church, of God's grace. God wants to show His grace through the love, hospitality, encouragement, and service in the community of faith called the church. We extend grace to those precisely because we've received grace from God. We are called to be caretakers of grace, and too often we have become merely consumers of grace. I receive grace daily. I receive it joyfully. I thank God that when I reach for grace, He's going to throw it on me and without measure. But sometimes we get so caught up in consuming that we never forget that we are dispensers. It doesn't matter what state of life you are in. It doesn't matter if your life is chaotic. You can still dispense God's grace. You can still speak peace. You can still speak the truth in love and allow the Holy Spirit to do the work. Also, lastly, God's grace not only grows in community, we call the church, but it also grows in the most unlikely places in the church. It grows in our shortcomings. It grows in our hypocrisies. It grows in our feelings. If everyone in the church had his or her act together, what need would there be for grace? Look closely at the scripture we just read. The Apostle Peter calls us to use our gifts in service toward one another. We steward the grace we have received by the way we speak and act toward others in the church. Let me say that again. We steward the grace we have received by the way we speak and act toward others in the church. That's how we steward grace. So I encourage you this morning to be stewards of God's grace and peace and distribute it just the way our Heavenly Father distributed it to you. Deserve has nothing to do with it. Let me say that again. Deserve has nothing to do with it. Jesus commanded His disciples, everywhere you go, speak peace and grace over that house. This morning, I encourage you to do the exact same thing. That you dispense peace and grace. That you dispense it without measure. That doesn't mean that you're somebody's doormat. That doesn't mean that you don't defend yourself. That doesn't mean that you allow people to hurt you over and over and over again. That's not grace. But in our pain and in our sacrifice, in the moments of our chaotic seasons in life, there's one thing that we have, and we've got it without measure, over in abundance. And that is grace, and that's His peace. And if we speak those things, if we speak the truth in love, empowered by grace and truth, grace and peace, then the Word will work. It doesn't need our extra help. It doesn't need our opinion. It doesn't need our resources. It doesn't need our abilities. Just allow the Word to work. Would you stand with me this morning? simple concepts this morning. Grace, peace, truth. Grace, peace, truth. Simple concepts, but revolutionary in its application. Speaking the truth over somebody that, in love, that has had the truth bomb thrown on them without any love or grace, can transform somebody's life instantaneously. Dispensing grace over somebody's life that has been judged all of their lives can instantaneously speak worth into them that moment, that second. You dispensing peace into somebody's chaotic, painful, dark night of the soul moment in their life could spring up hope instantaneously. I encourage you with all of my heart to be dispensers of God's grace. That you would be dispensers of God's love. That you would be dispensers of God's truth. Not with your judgments, not with your preconceived notions, but deliver it without measure. Because that same measure that you give has been given to you, and that much more. Amen. Today, if you, maybe you're here today and you know you're judgmental. You know you snap at a moment. You know you need the grace of God applied to you. You know you need change in these areas. Don't waste another moment. Allow God to sweep over you and change you, so that you can be dispensers of God's grace. Not prepackage it and dole it out in increments, but doling God's grace out. Will it cost you something? Oh man, you better believe it. But will it build you up? Yes, it will. So would you bow your heads with me this morning? Maybe you're here today and you need to receive that grace that I was talking about. That grace that has been poured out upon all of humanity, that if you receive it, will completely change the story of your life. It'll change the trajectory of your spirit. It'll create inside of you a right spirit. And you will be called a son and daughter of God. Today, if you need God's forgiveness, if you need to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, this could be your new birthday. If you say, Pastor, that is me. I need God's grace today. I need it. I can't dispense it yet, but man, I need it. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Boldly, courageously, say, Pastor, that's me right now. Amen. Yes. Amen. Amen. You say, Pastor, I am going through it. Like, I don't even know which way is up. And my soul is troubled. I can't hardly sleep. I've never been through a struggle like this. And I feel like that every day is another layer off of me. And it's taken away from who I am. And I feel like I have no hope. And I am struggling. And you need God's peace. Would you boldly and courageously raise your hand and say, Pastor, that is me this morning. Would you do that? Amen. Let's all do this. If you would, would you raise your hands this morning? This is just as a sign of surrender. Father, this morning, there were hands that went up concerning salvation, and if you raise your hand for salvation, all you have to do with your whole heart, repent. Father, forgive me. I've rejected your grace. I've rejected your truth. I've rejected your peace, and today I receive it joyfully with all of my heart. I'm yours. I am yours today. Take me as ornery as I am. Take me as opinionative as I am. Take me with everything that I am. I am yours. Would you forgive me today? Today I receive your forgiveness in my life. Today I receive your grace, today I receive your peace, and today I receive your truth. And by faith I walk in it for the rest of my life. Today I am yours, Lord, and today you are mine. If you courageously prayed that, you are born again. You are a child of God. You no longer have to wonder if you are born again. You no longer have to wonder if you've been forgiven. You no longer have to wonder that if God truly forgave you. The Bible says if you are free, if God sets you free, then you are free indeed. Amen. And this morning, as we have our hands lifted up to you, Father, I pray, Lord, over those that are struggling, that need your peace, that you would distribute that now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, what I have as their pastor, the peace that you have given me, Lord, I just dole it out in without measure this morning. May the peace of God be theirs as they go through that dark night of the soul, as they go through that thing that feels like is ripping away who they are. May your peace be theirs. That in the midst of the storm, they stand resolute, not because of their own strength, but because of your peace, because of your grace, because of your truth speaking over them. God, may you encourage and strengthen them today. May they realize that their life, their circumstances, all of it you care about. And Father, you are dispensing your grace, you're dispensing your peace. And Father, I pray that as we pray, and when we feel like that mountain should have moved, and it did not, help us to say that it is well with my soul. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. Job said that in the darkest time of his life, when he lost all of his kids, all of his possessions, his entire health was robbed from him instantaneously. And the Bible says Job sat down in the ash of his life, given the news that all of his kids had been killed at one moment. He said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. Will you trust his timing today? Will you trust him when you feel like you've prayed enough and yet God hasn't come through for you? Will you trust him still on the other side of that in your irritation? When the hourglass of your timing goes out, will you trust his timing today? Will his grace be enough for you? Will that peace be enough for you? It has to be. It has to be in that moment that we say by faith, your timing I receive, your timing I accept. You are working all things for my good. I don't feel it. I don't see it. But I trust it. And I thank you for the grace and peace in my life. And even in the midst of my pain, you are creating something that will sustain me. Just like Pastor Johnny said today, that the high ground that he prophetically spoke about, that we run to, and that he is creating something brand new, and those circumstances are pushing us to it. And so, Father, by faith, we receive that today. By faith, we receive that today. We trust you, and we choose, no matter what state we are in, that we will walk in the truth, powered by grace and peace. And not only will we receive it, but we covet today, this morning, to dispense it and be a blessing. Even in the midst of our struggle, may you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can you give God a hand clap of praise this morning?